You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. And we did a lot of free agency analysis. We'll go back to some draft analysis this week. So catch up on any of those positions, especially we focus in on wide receiver and running back with the couple big moves, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram. So check on those past shows if you want analysis of that for sure. But we're going to look at my mock draft, and this is a post-free agency mock draft, so it's still related to mock draft. This is the latest one. We've been doing this periodically as I've done new ones on sportingnews.com. We had a recent update there after the combine, but now it's after free agency that we look at a few weeks later. I'm going through again. We'll break it down into two parts. We'll do picks 1 through 16 here, and then we'll go through 16 through 32, and keep in mind the offensive skill players and the relation there to what they can do, and go from there. So let's look at what I have latest mock draft. There's not too many changes at the top, but we know there's a big trade that's going to shake things up later in the second half of the mock draft for the Giants and Browns. The Browns no longer have first-round pick. The Cardinals still have their top overall pick. They're not going to give that up there. So Kyler Murray still I have. I know their pro day presence was kind of a smokescreen there with not the main guys there, coach, GM, or owner showing up in Norman, Oklahoma to see what Kyler Murray was doing throwing. But at this point, everyone knows what Kyler Murray is. He's a pretty accurate passer. He's a little bit undersized. He chose even not to have a full measurement there at the pro day. So I think he's going to sit on his about 6'0" there. I still think it's undersized there in 207. So when you look at Murray and the Cardinals, it's looking more and more reality. It's all about who's going to trade for Josh Rosen. What are they going to get? I think they're going to be okay if parting with a second round pick in exchange for him, if a team does that, or even third rounder at this point. They want to clear the decks of Murray, and the only way you can do that is to move Rosen. So I think people know that. They're going to wait them out. It could be even a deal that it goes down during the draft. But looking more and more like Kyler Murray is going to be with the Cardinals and reboot their offense. And you look at that situation, Cliff Kingsbury and what Murray can do. I think I don't know if I would expect instant gratification the way that Baker Mayfield provided there immediately in Cleveland. But looking at the weapons in Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald there, not a bad go-to guy to have. It's pretty much just like having Jarvis Landry, and you know he had David Johnson out of the backfield, Duke Johnson, some other guys. So there are some baselines there for Murray to succeed. As a passer, also a team that's probably going to trail quite a bit because of their defensive transition and struggles there. So all that said, Murray could be a sleeper in fantasy football, especially if he lands with the Cardinals, who would – in turn, probably have to move Josh Rosen and also start Kyler Murray right away. The next pick, I have Nick Bosa going to the 49ers. It's starting to look like a very good team. We got Dee Ford there, and that's a big pickup for the 49ers in free agency. Made that big blockbuster trade with the Chiefs there. The Chiefs didn't want to pay Dee Ford that much. I don't know if it's all tied to the mistake he made against the Patriots, jumping off sides in the AFC Championship game, but the 49ers are thrilled to have him. They're in great position to have Nick Bosa, and you all of a sudden look at this defensive line. It's starting to look Chargers-like. If you look at Dee Ford in the Mark Ingram role, Nick Bosa in the Joey Bosa type role, and they have DeForest Buckner and Solomon Thomas. This is a pretty nasty front, and a sleepy team there, sleeper, I should say, as a defense to watch in fantasy football, but Bosa would really put that defense in great position. Speaking of defense in great position, I think Josh Allen going to the Jets would be pretty big with Greg Williams there. They can put him at different positions on that defensive front. They were aggressive as well, upgrading with CJ Mosley, their linebacker on the second level. So this is a team the Jets on a high uptick for their defense, and I think adding a guy like Allen would be fantastic, and then you get the pass rush going. And again, 49ers and Jets defenses could be all of a sudden a lot more productive here in 2019. Our fourth pick here that we look at is Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle from Alabama to the Raiders. And this has been pretty consistent as well. I think the Raiders have to go for some defense here. They do have some offensive holes that are not tied to wide receiver. They got out there and signed or traded for Antonio Brown. Then they also signed Tyrell Williams that took care of both of those guys in a deal, moved Jordy Nelson. So wide receiver, they're already in the process of overhauling. Tight end, they're still waiting on Jared Cook. And running back, Marshawn Lynch, we don't know if he's going to play another season. Doug Martin's a free agent. So influx there at those two positions. So I think the Raiders right now, looking potentially one pick defense and two picks offense here. But I think they're also in a position to go best player available, not force the issue with some depth at especially at running back and tight end in this particular draft. So they could go still the three ways with the defense and address that later. They've got a lot of picks. They're sitting a lot of options. And I think, especially with this pick, they're going to go best player available, whether it's Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen. Either of those guys fits really well in an Oakland uniform. The guy that's been climbing up charts is Montez Sweat, the defensive end from Mississippi State. The Bucs are in the process of changing their defense with Todd Bowles. They need more of an edge rusher here. So Montez Sweat has really climbed the boards, had a great combine there, not too far behind Josh Allen now off the boards, and a good pick for the Buccaneers there for a lot of reasons. They could look at an offensive tackle. I don't think that's out of the question there, but they need an edge player, whether it's offense or defense. They're number five. That's where also the values line up. And the Buccaneers, again, they're going to be in a market to maybe look at another receiver here after Adam Humphries was signed by the Titans and they traded away DeSean Jackson. Right now they have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as their remaining wide receivers. So that would be some consideration here. But five right now, Montez Sweat, and his value lines up pretty well with that spot. Number six here, the Giants, and that was the big news. They traded Odell Beckham Jr. They picked up the 17th overall pick, but that also could change things the way they're doing with number six, because the other big news was they're keeping Eli Manning. So Eli Manning's definitely locked in to be their starter for one more year, at least the guy in front for now until they draft a potential guy to groom here. But I have them taking Juwan Taylor, an offensive tackle from Florida. Right now he could play immediately at right tackle for them, and you look at their offensive line, got Nate Solder, big free agent pickup last year at left tackle, drafted Will Hernandez, who looks pretty good. Got Spencer Pulley now at center. They went through John Jalapio and Brent Jones that position, but Brett Jones. So when you look at that, they've got Spencer Pulley, who's a decent starter at center, and then they made a trade for Kevin Zeitler. So really the biggest thing is going to be Juwan Taylor, maybe getting that immediate right tackle help. They had Eric Flowers, the turnstile that he was, that position, try to plug in some other guys. But Juwan Taylor would be big because he's a run blocker as well, so natural fit and help for Saquon Barkley. Better protection for Eli Manning when you have Solder and Taylor on the edges. So this Giants offense, not completely lost when you look at Golden Tate there joining the fray with Sterling Shepard and having Evan Ingram there and Barkley and what he can do. So maybe with a little help and the way they change this offense a little bit, Eli Manning can be more effective. And Taylor is definitely that kind of player there to put on the edge and help protect the quarterback. And it's NFL free agency season, but it's going to be soon MLB season. We've got a game with the Oakland Athletics opening in Japan. So full swing of baseball coming up here. Opening day, remember, is a lot earlier. It's next week there. And we'll have our MLB Locked On shows there up and running for you. Follow your favorite teams there. We've got a lot of shows there as we dive headfirst more into baseball for this season to join all the great shows we have team by team in NFL and NBA. And our flagship shows, Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. So adding more fun here to the Locked On family. And you listen, get the insight you're looking for in football and basketball. We're going to have baseball for you too. And we'll have all things covered, including fantasy there. So look out for those shows and check them out. Get on board now, as it's going to be baseball season. And we know it's going to be baseball season for quite a while, so you want to get in on the ride now in March, and can't wait to listen to those shows and check it out for my favorite teams, and you can do the same as well. Be right back here to break down the next part of my first half mock draft there on sportingnews.com. All right, we got a few more picks to get to, and we'll start with our first skill position player off the board as we get to number 7. We just talked about Juwan Taylor, the right tackle, immediately at least for the Giants there as a good pick at number 6. Number 7, the Jaguars could think about offensive line again for Nick Foles, but they need some wide receiver help. They have no more Dante Moncrief, so why not go for another DM, DK Metcalf, a wide receiver from Ole Miss. We know that he's got sky's the limit potential here. Had a very good combine in his own right. You look at Nick Foles stepping in, he's only got Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook. They're revamping tight ends as well as they moved on from both Austin Seferian Jenkins and James O'Shaughnessy. So changing up things at the tight end spot. They got Jeff Swaim there of the Jaguars as someone they can look, or from the Cowboys, I should say, is now with the Jaguars. So they're changing the receiving core. Might as well add this weapon. DK Metcalf can stretch the field, be a real go-to guy there on the outside. I think Dede Westbrook is going to be a key target for Nick Foles, the way Nelson Aguilar was a couple years ago. In fact, the same kind of receiver there, one from USC, one from Oklahoma. So you got that inside target, but Nick Foles needs a better outside target that isn't Keelan Cole, because we saw Keelan Cole flashed a little bit, had that nice game against the Patriots, but he kind of disappeared. He was just a guy there late in the season, didn't really have any production at all. And Moncrief had some moments, but really nothing consistent there. So on the outside, DK Metcalf is a great opportunity if he goes to Jacksonville. Good situation to produce with Nick Foles now. We know Nick Foles is going to push the ball downfield, take advantage of a guy like Metcalf. A little bit like Alshon Jeffrey as well, another key target for Foles in Philadelphia there. So when you line it up like that, Metcalf looking like the Jeffrey in the situation, and then Westbrook is the Aguilar, that's sounding pretty good for the Jaguars and the upside of their pass game. Doing a lot more with Foles in there, playing off the running game and Leonard Fournette. I don't think it's going to be that smash-mouth, run-heavy offense that they get locked into. They're going to have a lot more confidence throwing the ball with Foles, who, unlike Blake Bortles, is not so dependent on the running game coming through. He can get hot and lift a team in a one-dimensional mode of pass if they need it. And so I think Metcalf, that would be a great landing spot here. Jacksonville with Foles for the best wide receiver in the class out of Ole Miss. Just a beast there that can really produce. At number 8, I have back to defense to the Lions. Rashawn Gary, right down the road from Detroit and Ann Arbor. Versatile defensive lineman. That already says Matt Patricia is going to be interested in him. He's solidified his status here from top 5 to top 15 in this draft, and I think it's a great spot for Gary. Again, can rev up that defense. And again, Detroit, another defense to watch. Patricia's influence, we know, can be pretty big. They're making a change here. They're moving on from Ziggy Ansah, looking for a little bit more versatility and durability there. And Gary can definitely provide it, has very high upside. And again, a defense to watch there. As well as we mentioned, the 49ers and Jets with some rebuilding pieces that have really come through there for these teams so far in free agency and will continue in the draft. Number 9, Buffalo Bills. They made some free agency moves as well. We talked about John Brown and Cole Beasley and Tyler Kroft at tight end. Yeah, these are not earth-shattering moves. They also added Andre Roberts, a slot guy, mainly is going to be known for his return ability. I think Cole Beasley will be the main slot guy, John Brown on the outside. That adds Robert Foster and Zay Jones. So you have some guys there. They have a pretty good offensive line redo with Mitch Morse. They picked up from the Chiefs, Spencer Long from the Redskins, and Ty Neschke from the Redskins. So moving over some of the guys that they had there. So they could look at a tackle here. Could start on the left side. Jonah Williams, definitely there right now. They have Deion Dawkins, not the greatest blocker on the outside for Josh Allen. So those would change things. If you get a left tackle here for Allen, protect him, have him throw the ball downfield. We know he had a lot of fantasy value last year as a running quarterback, dynamic player in his own right. And I really like Jonah Williams going to the Bills, because now with some receiving weapons, they don't have to force the issue here. It's pretty deep at wide receiver. in this class. They have decent receivers before. Offensive line would be a nice missing piece here, and not only help Josh Allen protect him, use his big arm to throw downfield, but also facilitate the running game that now has Frank Gore joining Sean McCoy, one of the oldest backfields in the NFL, but that's how the Bills are rolling this year. And some of those backfield issues, maybe not being able to run the ball, some of the defensive foibles, that could cause Allen to gunsling a little bit more. Now he's got something to work with and a little bit more protection to work with as well, especially if they get Jonah Williams to round out their offensive line makeover. At number 10, we have a key pickup here is the quarterback from Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins, to the Denver Broncos. Now, this is what happens if the Giants pass at number 6. If they're looking short-term, if they're not completely sold on the attributes of Dwayne Haskins, which seems to be more and more the rumor, well, John Elway should be thrilled about that because he's going to get a big arm downfield passer, pocket guy. Right now they have Joe Flacco as their bridge quarterback as they moved on from Case Keenum, moved him to Washington. But you got to look at the quarterback of the future. This is a great shot to get Haskins here, especially the Giants, again, not too enamored with Haskins as much as they were early in the process. That committed me to circle back to maybe sticking with Eli Manning for one more year, looking more at the 2020 draft for their help at quarterback or in the second or third round, somewhere later for them, or even a trade for Josh Rosen here. So that opens things up for the Broncos to take Dwayne Haskins, 6'3", 231 pounds. A lot of Elway in him, a tough, big guy, can move around a little bit, not really his forte, but just enough at times. He's going to be a pocket passer, strong arm, throw the ball downfield. They've got those receivers now, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, some guys that can stretch the field pretty well for Denver. They're going to bring Emmanuel Sanders back as well. Big arm, so pretty decent younger group of receivers with Sanders as the dean of that group. And if Flacco's a guy with a big arm that the Broncos like, then they're going to love Dwayne Haskins and what they can do, groom him as their quarterback of the near future here. And he needs a little bit of time to get all together. Had a meteoric rise there with Ryan Day, who became the Buckeyes coach. He was the offensive coordinator, good NFL experience. So some good tutelage there, but he could use a little bit more to get on the field. And I think the Broncos would be an excellent fit for what Dwayne Haskins can do. Now, number 11, we'll talk about another skill player, TJ Hockenson. CJ Azuma and Tyler Eifert were both re-signed by the Bengals. Tyler Kroft went to the Bills, as I mentioned. So a little bit of changing there, but Azuma has had his injury issues. Eifert is durability question mark. Hockenson's that well-rounded tight end they could use. Zach Taylor didn't really use it as much. The new head coach, when he's looking with Sean McVay, there it was Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee made some cameos, but I think Hockenson is a better all-round tight end than both of those guys for sure. And you got to look at it more and more. It's a weapon that the Bengals could use there. When you look at their receiving core, they're not thrilled about John Ross, first-round pick just from a couple years ago. Speedster that you can't trust to be healthy. It's pretty much a vertical right runner. We could have told you that one. We didn't really like the pick when it happened. So they need a more versatile player there. Tyler Boyd proved to be a good outside-inside guy playing off A.J. Green last year. I think Hockenson as well. Good inline tight end. Can add to the blocking. Help the running game for Joe Mixon. And also up Andy Dalton, a good safety valve there. So Uzuma got a small deal. Eifert just a one-year deal to come back. So they're not completely sold on these guys. So Hockenson is a guy still in play for the Bengals. At number 11, the best all-around tight end in this class. And if he doesn't go there, I could see him easily go to number 12. And the Packers there, who are looking at tight ends. Jimmy Graham still in the mix. They did bring back with the hand Mercedes Lewis, but more of a blocker. So all the question marks there, Bengals and the Packers in that wheelhouse there at 11 and 12 to take a tight end. And if the Packers are not able to get him there at 12, I think a lot of it's going to be because the Cincinnati Bengals grabbed him at number 11. Before we wrap up my look at the first half of the first round of my latest mock draft for sporting news, I got to tell you, it's never been easier to listen to the Locked On shows by getting in your car. That's right. Use your smart speaker in your car and dial it up. It's perfect listening for your commute. Just say play Locked On Fantasy Football. And in some good commute time, you know, right around that 25-minute mark, you'll have the insight there that you need for the offseason to get you through fantasy football, the dark times, and really help your commute a little bit brighter, whether it's in the morning getting to and from work, or you're just driving around throughout the day and you need a little insight and sports pick me up, we're here for you on the Locked On Network. More and more of you listening are doing so in the car, and we want to be part of that movement here and part of your weekly routine as well. So check us out there, listen to us in the car, and keep in mind, get ready for those new MLB shows too as well. It'll enhance your experience and all our good draft coverage here, team by team, NFL, and with our two podcasts straight from the minds of the Draft Network, Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dude. So again, so much to consume. Why not take advantage of the time that you have in the car to become a more well-informed sports fan about your favorite team and sport? Be right back here to break down the final five picks of my mock draft. All right, let's look at picks number 12 through 16. We'll come back tomorrow with the 17 through 32, leading with the Giants, second pick now that they acquired from the Browns, so no more Browns picking. We mentioned Hockenson in play for the Packers at 12 if he's available, but I like Devin White, the inside linebacker of LSU. They got Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith in free agency. So they're overhauling the linebacker core. Jake Ryan was not re-signed here. Nick Perry was released. You have Clay Matthews not coming back either in Green Bay. So this whole second level is changing with the two Smiths. Might as well get Devin White in there to cover some more ground. You have Blake Martinez now at the other inside linebacker spot. So he kind of fills in that hole. Gives you a lot more range than Jake Ryan had there, who moved on to the Jaguars. They're hoping that he could be Paul Posluszny for them. But look at the Packers. They need an inside linebacker, someone to clean up on the second level, cover a lot of ground for Mike Pettine. There with David Harris a long time ago with the Jets. I think his that type of player Devin White is, but with a lot more speed, good tackling all-around ability here. So Devin White, it's a good pick for the Packers and can really help them. Now the Miami Dolphins will look at a quarterback as well. But now they have their bridge there in Ryan Fitzpatrick, so they don't have to force it there. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is the ultimate bridge quarterback, and typically you can get away with a season of starting him and feeling good about it. They move Ryan Tannehill, but they got another Ryan and Fitzpatrick, and the rumor already out of Miami is that they're waiting just for the 2020 draft, and this is a good, slow, steady rebuild here. The brain trust with Brian Flores, the new coach from New England, trying to do things a different way. So throwing some money, rushing into things for the Dolphins. They're trying to be patient about things, and I think a key building block is Cleveland Farrell, the defensive end of Clemson, again, a versatile guy, a lot like Rashawn Gary, but solid overall, good pass rush upside. The Dolphins need a pass rusher with Cameron Wake being moved on there to Tennessee, so Cleveland Farrell in Miami makes a lot of sense. So does Ed Oliver in Atlanta. He's a defensive tackle, and we've had him in our mock drafts before. We're kind of sticking with that pick, holding pattern for the Falcons. They addressed their offensive line a little bit in free agency, but that's all about they've done here. So defense, a versatile guy again for the system of Dan Quinn. You kind of hear that with Mike Pettine. You've heard that with Matt Patricia. We've heard that with Brian Flores. There are a lot of schemes now that call for this tackle end in between type guy, Michael Bennett type player, can rush outside there in early down situations for a 4-3 and slide in there to be a real nightmare as an extra inside pass rusher on those obvious third down situations where a team's going to be dropping back, and Dan Quinn can make the most out of Ed Oliver's unique, versatile talents there. And he can just be a big-time disruptor, and Atlanta could use that to get their defense pushed in the right direction. Now, the number 15th pick here that I have is Daniel Jones going to Duke. So the trickle-down here, when you have the situation with the Giants not forcing the issue at number 6 with Dwayne Haskins, that moves Haskins to number 10, and then you have the Dolphins avoiding maybe that forced quarterback pick as well. And Daniel Jones, this is more of a luxury pick. So it's funny that the two teams that have the bridge QBs, Joe Flacco in Denver, and now Case Keenum, the leftover recycling situation from Denver in Washington, Daniel Jones is someone they could look at it out of Duke there. I still have these three quarterbacks going in the first round, Murray number one overall. Then you have that little lull, and you have the two quarterbacks, Haskins and Jones. It's obviously cuts into Drew Locke being able to go a little earlier as well. So he's the guy that is most hurt by the number one status of Kyler Murray, as well as the number six Giants not taking a quarterback. So Daniel Jones here, they like his ideal size, 6'5", 221, moves around a little bit, still a pocket passer. And Alex Smith, this guy's more the true successor. If you look at Case Keenum, just another bridge quarterback. But a bridge quarterback, you don't want to even commit to too long. I mean, same thing with Joe Flacco versus, say, Nick Foles, who's going to start legitimately for the Jaguars, and you don't have to force yourself at quarterback for a few years or set there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's just a better option. He's proved that of late versus a Keenum or a Flacco there. So Daniel Jones going to the Redskins, not going to start right away if he goes there. It's going to be Keenum, but should get an opportunity sooner rather than later if that's the case. There's not a passing game I'm all excited about yet. I think it's going to be more about the running game with Darius Geis and now Adrian Peterson re-signed as well. But Jones will take a while for his fantasy value to manifest. And finally, we look at number 16, the Carolina Panthers. Got a center there in free agency with Matt Paradis. He replaces Ryan Khalil, but now they have to replace Matt Khalil. And he was the left tackle. They moved on from him, just a pricey waste of time. Was not durable, was not effective out there for them at left tackle. They got to move on. They did re-sign Darrell Williams, the right tackle. Bit of a surprise move, but then they cut Khalil and they didn't bring the other Khalil back. Go with Paradis in a rather reasonable deal. So Andre Dillard of Washington State, they need someone to better protect Cam Newton, especially that shoulder issue. Practicing through it should be okay to play in 2019, but you got to protect your asset a little bit more. He's been banged around and beat up a little bit. Part of it last year was the dump offs to Christian McCaffrey. This is the next step, getting him some better protection here to throw downfield, also to take advantage of his big arm and not have him take as much hit on that shoulder so it can rest up and restore some of the big playability that Cam Newton had as a downfield passer. So an offensive tackle here at number 16 makes a lot of sense. I think they could also look at pass rusher, but given the way our mock draft has played out, like a couple past ones, is that it's not going to always work out for the Panthers, but offensive tackle, pretty good fallback for them. So there you have it. There's their shakeup in the mock draft. Just a simple move by the Giants making a trade, sticking with Eli Manning. You've seen the after effects it has compared to our last mock draft, especially when it involves Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones in the top half of the first round here of the 2019 draft. So we'll come back tomorrow again, break down the second half of my mock draft first rounder, 17 through 32, starting with that Giants pick and ending, of course, with the Patriots, the Super Bowl champions there. To look at that. For Locked On Fantasy Football, check us out in many ways. Download us wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you tomorrow for the continued mock draft breakdown.